there's learn a good bit, I think. No matter what kind of weather you got, you still get hot.
Yes, ma'am. This water for me?
Yeah. You want cold water, Rick?
Yeah, I reckon so. A little cooler in here.
Yeah, it's much better than it is actually out in that sun.
I thought that haze would keep up a while.
Yeah.
That haze is gone by the time I got over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it hit as hard as it did was when you wake before, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I got hot the last day or two, Coleman.
Yes, sir. Well, it's been some hot weather.
I was out there messing around, you see.
What you doing?
Well, I'm trying to save a little of this old grass.
Yes.
I made an account, but...
Yes.
And, yesterday, put it all down there. I just did it in the way you want to. Yesterday, my mower blade.
A duh.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And you tell it just like that.
Yes, sir. Sure.
It don't take long.
No, sir. I never did mow with a tractor, but I used to mow with a mule, and it was one of them mule machines, you know. And it makes a difference when that blade gets done.
And they don't have to tell you about it, do they?
No, sir. Sure, no. No, sir.
It starts that, it don't jerk, it don't vibrate, but it labors.
Yes.
Whatever you call it. Like going up a hill in your car.
Yes,
before
right.
You change gear or something.
Yes, sir. That's right, sir.
Oh, it must pull it.
Yes, sir. It makes it. Makes a difference, a big difference too. You got a rock ride your own thing, man.
Oh.
Or you carry it somewhere and get it
around. I generally carry it.
Carry and get it around.
They do it so much better than I do, Coleman.
I know, they got better, I guess so, but I had a little old rock where I used to grind mine. I lowered it to Mr. Boyd one time, and you know, he called himself working on it and ruined the thing, and I couldn't sharpen blade at all. I don't know what he cut that rock down or something. I don't know what he put on that rock to cut it down, call himself fixing it, you know, where it do better than the end. And I couldn't do nothing with it after.
Oh, now, he cut your rock down?
Yeah, cut the rock down.
I never heard of that.
You know, they made in shape, you know how it made, you know, that goes up in between them two sections, you know.
Yeah.
Some of that rock made to fit up in there for you to grind that blade sharp, you know. Well, he cut it all down just about the same all the way across from one end of the rock to the other. And he just ruined that, and he done something I didn't tell him to do either. I lowered it to him for to sharpen his blade with it. That's all I did. And that's what he did for it. He brought it back.
Well, now, you had a special rock.
Yes, just for one of them, machines like we pull with a mule, you know.
Yeah.
You put that thing on the wheel, or either on the tongue, and one to take two, one to turn it, and one to hold the blade on. You could, there's a place where you could put the blade on there and kind of bolt it down, but you could do it so much quicker if you'd hold it on there with your hand.
And somebody else to
turn the rock, yes.
Oh, you had one of them old...
Yes.
Great big old thing.
No, sir, it's small.
How big?
The whole thing wasn't moving by that long.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But you could bolt it right on the wheel. You know how you know, that was no rubber tie, you know, that was an iron mowing machine,
yeah.
Wheel, you know.
Yeah.
You bolted that on that. Or you could put the tongue on a block or a box or something where it would be up and bolt it onto the tongue machine.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if you ever seen one of them kind of rocks, probably when you start dealing with it, you hadn't done away with them.
No. No, I grew up with a great big one.
Yes, sir. You was a great big one.
Yeah.
Yes. But this wasn't so over big. Now, the rock part wasn't no more than just about that long. I was just about that long.
Uh-huh.
Yes. See, it had made, you know how it made in shape, where when you go to grind it, it'll fit up between them two sections, you know, kind of, and that's the sharp one, just like they already sharpened that first, you know, when you boil.
Yeah. You don't still have it.
No, sir. I sold a fellow that machine. I called myself to sell it to him, and he never did pay me for it. And I gave him that rock with it. And he ain't got nothing for none of it. He ain't never paid me for the machine and tore it up. Tore the machine up.
Well, how'd you let him get by with that, Coleman?
Just tore it up, wasn't nothing. I didn't see nothing I could do. As he never had paid me. See, I didn't have him tied up no way, no. And so that, I guess that settled it.
You're a easy dealer.
Well, I didn't see way to get by. But if I had went and take a gun and killed him, well, I'd have been worse. So I decided lost the machine.
You got something over there I could borrow?
I don't think I got anything you wrong.
I don't know how you can stay in business doing like that, Coleman.
Well, you can't stay in business. See, he put me out of business. And if I'd have had another mule, I could have used the machine some more, but I didn't have but one mule, you know. And so I didn't, never had been where I could use it. Well, you see, if I had another mule, he put me out of business. You can't stay in business that way very long.
You
know?
Gotta have two mules.
Two mules, yeah.
A lot of them things.
Lots of them, yeah. Yes, and you know, we used to have a dish, you know, like you got some dishes out there, because I wasn't, no, you had this, you would use a mule, you know. But some dishes always would be so rough on a mule, they'd wake a mule. But to do anything good with them, it would cut.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's tough. They take too good on, you know, for to stand up with them things.
Yeah. Mm. And then you let them catch their breath at the end of the row.
Yes, not at Evergreen, no, sir. No, but we watch them, you know, too, and you see them getting hot.
Coleman, how you, how do you get, when you're plowing along there, how do you get Emma to go one way or the other? Just
being hard. You just learn it right away. But when you, before you ever learn them, you have lines on them, you know.
Sure.
When you tell G, you just kind of check that line, and pretty soon you'll have where she. You can wake them without a line, no need a line. It does seem things are a mule thing to learn things that, but that's what always told them. When you want to go right, tell them G, and go left, ha. And
they do it.
Yes, yes.
Now, when you got Emma, she wasn't trained?
She wouldn't do that, no. She wasn't trained to.
Oh, I didn't.
But
know.
I learned.
You had to do it.
Yeah, I learned it, but she had to use the lines on her. And I tell her G. I tell her, gee, and she didn't go, and sometimes I was kind of snatchy, you know, with the line. And pretty soon you have where she go right, so you tell her, gee, she follows to the right. Well, I've seen them, we have had them. Unless you want to have a line, you didn't have to have a line.
Yeah.
To drive it. Turn around at the end. Anyway, I had a red mule, and I could turn him around at the end. If he wouldn't be turning short enough around, just holler at him, you know. And he'd stand up on his hind feet and just whirl around him, just short, that short around.
Whew. I never heard of anything like that.
Really? He just like just wrap and just come back around.
And he was red?
He's red, yes, red color. I guess you'd call it a soil mule, you know.
Yeah.
Soil color. I always call him red mule, but he was soil color.
Yeah, well, he learned.
Yes, sir. But you know, sometimes you have to kind of whip him a little bit. You gonna make him learn. Some of them be kind of hard-headed. But he was the best weight, common weight, because he couldn't pull as much as a lot of them. He was more of a traveling mule. He traveled kind of like a horse. But I had him pull, had another one with him, was he'd pull half as much again on a load as he would. But he'd do all he could, though.
Now, that wasn't the mule you rode, was it?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. I used to ride him in the woods where I had the hogs on the rein, you know, feed him. That's all we had to do with them hogs. We used to raise on the rein.
Yeah.
Just feed them, kind of keep them gentle, tame, you know, where you could handle them. and you'd call them, see them in the woods, and call them, and the hogs would come to you, and they'd come up too close to him, and he'd just, many times, he'd just stand up on his hind feet. I'd be sitting on his back and turn right around the other way.
Yeah.
Mm. Scared of automobile, though.
Yeah.
This man, Preston, used to be in making up, you know him, did you?
Yeah.
They used to take me for a good thing, you know, beat me on the road. They had some kind of little car, I don't know what they call it, low down, and him and his brother used to ride in that thing. They almost looked like, almost laying down, it was so close down. And that mule was scared of that thing.
And it made a lot of noise.
Yes, sir. And he'd make it make a lot, the time he seen the mule cut up. And I don't know, sometimes, you know, it makes you a little kind of vexed the way it done, but you know, and he'd break out to run, and he'd go too if he didn't hold him. You just had to hold him. But he sure'd go.
Yeah.
That mule.
He was scared of automobile.
Yeah, I don't blame you for being there.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think they'd run that fast.
Some of them can. Jay, if you want to see one run, if you get him used, like you had one using with them horses there, you got out there? And turn, and you get on them, one of them horses and run, and you, like you're going to leave and stuff like that. You see how fast, you know, I bet you keep up with them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, some of them same mules, you get on the back, you couldn't hardly get him to go long. But they can run, though. He swallowed them horses.
Well, Coleman,
yeah.
I believe it's the kind of voice you use. I heard Rick down there talking to Emma, and he's saying G and Hall. And she didn't pay much attention.
No. She knows the difference. They know the difference right now.
I tell her to get up and she wouldn't move.
Well, she knows she could boss you. She do you just like she wants to.
Oh, she heard him, but
yes, sure she heard him. Sure she heard him, but she didn't pay no attention to him. Yes,
she sure paid attention when you hollered.
Yeah. I said, they know the difference all right now. Well, she'd know the difference. You'd go in there to catch her, and I'd go in there to catch her. She'd come out, I'd tell her to come to me from the backside over there, and she'd come right on to her. But
oh.
She wouldn't pay no attention to you ever if you go ahead and tell her that.
No.
Well, you don't just talk nice to her.
You know, sometimes I had to whip them. Make them do.
Oh.
Sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
You have one, and you tell him to do it, and he don't do what you say, you had to whip him. I guess. Did your dad ever do you that way?
Yeah.
And he's a little fella. Tell you to do anything you didn't do it, he'd strap you.
Yeah.
Well, you just crack that line on her. That'll about do it.
Well, sometimes if that didn't do it, I'd get a good switch, a whip or something. If that was needed, you know.
You mean an old black whip and crack it out.
Yes, a green oak limb or something.
Oh, that hurt.
Yeah.
Yes.
And really stinger.
Yes, a stinger. Good. Well, you got to, sometimes you had to make a feel it, you know, for it to do any good.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because if it didn't, it won't pay no attention to me just like you done Ricky. It just won't pay no attention to me.
No.
But
well, I heard you down there, and you use a pretty strong voice when you're talking to her.
Sometimes I do. Well, that's why she don't do exactly like it. She knows the difference too, and I use it that way.
Well, you just got her voice, and you don't realize how strong it is.
Maybe that might be it.
Because
when that mule hears it, she picks up and goes on.
Yeah.
She doesn't wait. Because I was telling her, get up, get up. And Coleman's behind me, boy, when you let go, get up there.
She knew what I meant for her to go.
When
I told her that, you know.
At Coleman, I stood down there and watched you plow, and I can't any more tell what you did.
No.
What did you, you know, you'd back up. How did you do that with that single plow?
Yes. That was a twin plow, you know. That's making the bait to it. They call it, that's putting an extra fur to it.
Yeah.
See, when y'all reach it with that, you put two furs together. Well, I went around to that same plow and put two more right there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Put one on each side.
Each side, yes, sir.
And then when I went around, I went down the middle and off to the sides.
Yeah, you went down and you dug a ditch in the middle. He put a dish down one or two middles, some of the water to come
you
down.
You can tell it too.
It's a sign of it now. You just went too deep in the ground, that's all.
Well, I don't see. You know, just about all I could do to keep from going side to side, and before
right.
I knew it, I thought, well, now you ought to pay attention, Rick. You're going a little deep here.
Well, Coleman, what makes me think is it looks so easy. And I saw Rick, and it wasn't easy.
Yeah, he couldn't
do it.
No. Well, it's easy after you learn it, but, you know, if you don't know how, I believe you're working a way to make it hard for your own self, because if you don't know how, you work against your own self, you know. Yeah,
you know, we were talking about this once before. That's when you said you'd plowed enough to go to Vietnam and back.
Yes. Well, I guess so, too. I made a mini-track follow the plow, you know. Started early in the morning, worked till 2 o'clock. You go home, get me dinner, and maybe 1 o'clock, go back out there again and wait till plow the sundown. For me in the end, you know, I'd be within a minimum mile in that day of waking. It was all put right on the line.
Well, you know, it's hard to realize how many times you have to walk over that piece of ground.
Piece of ground, that's right. Yes.
You break it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, your plow just does a little bit of...
Just about, yes, sir.
10 or 12 inch.
But just about 10 inch, I guess, one plow like that. About
one
10
plow.
Inch. Yes. And you know, you have to make a mini round on an acre of land to get it through, wouldn't
you? And then you gotta. You always harry it, don't you?
Sometimes it'd be rough. If it didn't be rough, it'd be rough, I'd harry it, yes, sir. And harry it was. Harry it after you. One mule harry, you know, after you open it out. Of course, you use one of your drag harrows, but one section of them is a little bit quicker, but the other harrow would harry it after you open it out.
Oh,
it
yeah.
wouldn't be no wider than that, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you just have to keep it going over that till you get just like that. Sometimes
yeah.
it'd be rough. You had to go the second time.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, do you remember them old box chairs we used to have? The wooden frame with spikes down it?
Yes.
What'd you call that?
Well, I don't know what really the name of them, but we never owned one of them, but I've seen many of them. Yeah, I know it was wooden with the spikes in it.
Section hair.
Yes. Well, they got these iron harrows now for mules.
Yeah.
Now, I got one section of it. I bought it from so. Well, when they had his two mules, they had two sections of that. Well, this fellow Black used to live back up there. He had one of two sections to it, and he sold me one half of it. You know. Well, I got it at the house there now.
Oh, really?
Now, anything real rough, I hit your hammer to it. See, it'll cover a wide space. Couple space just about as long as this table.
Oh, really?
Yes. But I go with that, you know. Sometimes I double harrow. You see, like I go
sure.
this time, next time I let that harrow come along and cut it about halfway again. Just keep on cross that way.
Yeah.
Or you have it, you put a weight on that harrow, then you don't need much of a weight on it for one mule because it'll be hard enough for it to pull. And by the time you get over, you have it in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fell a Black. I mentioned him
yes,
before.
Yes, he used to live over next to making over there. Yes.
Next to
this man over there. That is the place, you know, where they got them trailers going on. That used to be his place, and next to where this man built.
Oh,
you
used to be
house.
A house there?
Bevelfeller.
Huh?
Over here where them trailers at, over here, you know, where this man built a store here?
Oh, yeah, on 441?
Uh-huh. Well, you know, at highway going to my house,
yeah.
where them trailers at, right at the end of that fence, well, that was his place right there. The house used to be on the far side of it over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That same place between where this man fenced and that church up there was his place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
went up to Cary Walker.
That junction, it's been a good while since that junction was there.
Oh, long time. They used to have camp meeting that place right back away from my house. Run an excursion.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yes, sir.
Used to be
a shed there. I guess it was a big shed. I know it covered a bit of acre ground. And they used to run trains, you know, bring people there.
Yeah.
You still using there.
And they get
off. Used to call it Turner City. That's what they called it. That was the name of it. Turner City.
Back of you.
Yes. Right.
Back of the place where you are now?
Yes. Right up. I don't think you. Did you ever come to my house? I think you had. You'd come up after you leave down here to the crossing at the railroad where Butch and them live at. You used to turn up in that hammock and come out to another crossing on that little bright road and cross where you get up to the house. It was just a crossing right up there now.
Yeah.
You used to come to that. Well, Franklin's got it since then now. Used to be a road. Come around through there.
Oh, I see.
And right where that cross net, right across that, that's where the big shed was.
Oh.
They used to run trains there. I remember they run about 2 trains there. They bring people there from all over, I don't know, from everywhere.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. Used to have a camp meeting there.
And that's in your time?
Yes, sir.
Since you've been living there?
Yes, sir. No, sir. Not since
you.
I've been living there.
Before you lived there?
Yes.
Why, your daddy was there?
No, that's before he come there. There's a white fellow there, a fellow Riley, a fellow he bought plays from. Named Riley. His son down here at Ocala now. He got one son, that's all he got living. He got one son and he got the 2 sweet daughters.
You mean a white fellow built that place?
He didn't build it. My daddy built that house, where I'm living in now. But the house was burnt up. That's the house the white fellow built. That man built the barn. That same barn was there.
Yeah.
Yes. His name was Riley.
But the place burnt up.
House
burnt up.
Burnt up, yes. The house where that pump at, that pump was sitting in the back porch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So he didn't build back.
Who that?
Riley.
No. But the house burnt up, my daddy's there. He had a place in the house burned up.
Oh, Riley's house burned up after
yes.
Your daddy lived there.
He was living there. Everything he got burnt, everything he had got burnt, but daddy had to get burnt up. Everything, house caught a fire in the noontime, except from the flue, you know.
Yeah.
But used wood stove, you know.
Yeah.
Caught it up there somewhere when they found the house, it was on fire up there. They didn't have time to save nothing. Got excited, you know, him and mother was there. All the rest of the children was off in the field working. And you know how it be. Sometimes people get excited and they don't do nothing.
Yeah. That's the way I do.
Yes. Well, that's what they done. And it didn't save nothing. Save one old trunk. Everything he had got burned. It's noontime and it happened and he, after the fire already, he didn't have a pair of shoes to put on. Because his wet shoes, they had them off with his feet rest at noon, you know. And he didn't have time to get there.
I heard that.
Yeah. And that house got burnt up. Well, he built this house back. That was in 1917.
That it burnt up.
And that's time that house back where I'm living at now. It was built back there in
1917.
Yes.
Well, it's a nice house, Cole.
It do very well.
He must have been making a little money to.
Well, he did. He used to be lucky on the farm than I was. Well, of course, he had a big family. He had all his children there, and he used to make money on this farm. It wasn't so expensive back in them times. You used to get string beans, take 10 cents a crate and 12.5 cents. And it used to get just as much or more for them than you get now.
Yeah.
And now you got to pay it. When I was planting them, you start off at 50 cents and it went on up, you know. But now to tell me there's $1 from $2 to get them picked now. I wouldn't plant them now for to try to make no money out, because you can't make no way to make no money. Because you don't get enough for them. You know, if you've got to pay $2 a half for a bushel to get them picked off the bushel, well, where is any money for you?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be nothing for you.
Coleman, were all the children like you wanted to learn, like you said about plowing?
No, they didn't. I don't say they wanted to learn, but they had to learn. They had to learn.
Now, when you were just a little boy, your daddy went to the...
Yes, and he'd go get in some water. I'd have the plow hammer, the plow, and pretty soon he had me plowing too. Well, when I got big enough to plow, I had to learn. Yes.
Well, it seems to me that as I watched you
yes.
in that plowing, one of the things is to know how deep to go. So
yes,
how,
ma'am.
Isn't
that
well,
difficult? See, I'll tell you what to do with that, you know. See that old sack, people use back bands, you know, board back bands, but you can take old sack, clover sack, and do the same thing, make your back band. Well, you use that to keep the plow out of the ground from going so deep. You set that back over the fowl just, if you wanted to go deeper, you set it for the fowl. If you wanted to go light, you set it, move back on the mule back, you know. You make the mule do that, keep that plow out of the ground.
Oh.
But see, he didn't understand that. But and then, in other words, them kind of plow, that slide on there, when you tilt that plow handle up, that'll make it go in the ground. If you bear on the handle, it'll make it come out of the ground.
Yeah.
See that slide on there, slide on the ground. That's the thing. If you bear on the handle, it'll make it come up light.
Uh-huh.
Well, what you done? You tilt the handle up, make it on the point, and that made it go deep in the ground.
I was going.
Yeah, you used to cause that. I know what caused that, but I didn't try to straighten you out. I was just going to let you, because I know you couldn't kill the mule in one row.
Well, sometimes the ground is it's so uneven. It'll be high here.
Yes,
lower.
But that you set the plow, it will make no difference. That band would go across the mule back. That's what control that plow back there. If I'm gonna plow this other plow, the sweep is called it. That's what controls it. I set that back band the way I want that plow to run. If I wanted to go deep in the ground, I set the back band further to the front. If I wanted to go light, I set it more to the back. And her back will pick that plow up just where you want it to go.
Coleman, I must admit, I have handled mules off and on in a not a very intelligent way. I never heard that before. I never even knew that back band was adjustable.
That's what it is. Yes.
You push it back or forward?
Back and
forward.
Yes.
Forward.
Yes.
Now you made it out of a sack?
Yes, sir.
Just
clover sack. It's just as good as them with the buy. Of course, them with buy might look the best, but it's just as good and it don't cost you. You always have plenty of old sacks around, you know.
Yeah.
And one way I'd make you another one. And you don't never be out no money on that. But if you want something for look good while you go to the store and pay the charge about it, imagine now it costs you about $1.50 to get one.
Well, I think a crooked sack would look better.
Yeah, it'd be cheaper, I know that much. Yes, sir.
Well, I kept wondering what that was.
Yes, well, that's what it's called. That's what I keep that on. I guess you notice it being on the back, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, that's what it's for.
Yeah. And I noticed it's a crooked sack.
Yes, sir. And by that plow run deep, just like I told you. But see, when Ricky got it, he held up the handle like that.
Mm-hmm.
That made it go down in the ground. You make it run deeper then.
Yeah.
But if you had a bat on the handle, push down on the handle, well, it'd make it come up out of the ground.
Yeah.
See, that slide was a slide on until that slide wear out. When it wear out very sharp, well, it'll go in the ground itself. But as long as you stay like it is now, I think it's pretty good now. Well, it'll help keep it out of the ground.
Oh.
Yeah, his philosophy learned, because people don't want, well, it's no need to learn plowing a mule now, because nobody will hardly plow, because you ain't going to ever plow a mule. If you ever plow many, you will get your tractor. I guess that would be the best.
No, I think people are going to go plowing with a mule more than ever now, Coleman.
Well, there's lots of them got rid of them, Miss Myers, and they're going back to hunting them again. Now, I'll tell you one thing, you can do a better plowing with a mule than you can with a tractor, because I didn't watch a lot of these people plowing with a tractor. You can cover more land, big territory, but you can do a better plowing, because I have made my crop and not put no hoe in it. Made it with a plow. But you got to plow good to do it, you know.
Hmm.
Oh, really?
Yes. I made it not put a hoe in it. Corn, for a fact, I hardly ever hoe the corn, unless I bean taking time, sometime it caused the grass to get a little jump on it then, where you got to stay out of it, say, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, not do nothing to it, you know. and you go in there and get a little hit every then. But if I didn't have to do that, I wouldn't need no hole in my corn. And I made a bean crop and not hole then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this fellow that takes care of my horses, who's Haviland, said he's looking for some mules, and mules had gone up so high now, everybody wanted a mule.
Wanted a mule, yes. But they tell me people was going back after the mule. And a few years ago, the people, I can say it right around here, I said, well, it'll take the racing people. They done the same thing. Back years ago, that's all they had to depend on to make the farm with. They had one tractor for the distant land with. They had about 8 or 9 mule plows. And after they started farming completely with the tractors, they turned the mules into pastures and let them die. Didn't have a good pasture like you got here. Just had a pasture, and that's all. You got to eat dirt and everything. You try to get something to fill him up. And pretty soon, they all went all to nothing, and it didn't have no mules, and they sold some of them, I think. But they didn't care for them. If you had to turn him in a good pasture where he got enough grass to live on, it would have been a different thing. But and I know a lot of people turn him in pasture, and the mule got full of dirt, sand, eating that short grass, and get sand in him, and take the sand collars or something or other, died from it, all like that. They didn't care for them. You know, I think it looked so bad. Back years ago, that's all they had to help make them live it. And time it got to where they could do better, throw it away. You know, I think they ought to take care of it right on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I think. But that's what I feel about it. That's the reason I try to see this old mule here, because, you know, it's not so much what she's doing now, but still, she will work if I wanted her to work.
Yeah.
And look what she has done for
yes,
you.
Yes, that's right. If I hadn't had her or something just like her, well, I couldn't have made a living in the back days, of course. Wasn't nothing I could do to make a farm, you know. Didn't have no tractor. And it wasn't no tractor back years ago, you know. I knew it wasn't a tractor. It wasn't a tractor in this country. Nobody had one.
And you don't have any equipment.
No.
No money in it.
No.
The harness, you got a bridle.
Yes.
You always use them blinds.
Yes, I'll tell you what I use them for. If you got a bridle on a mule or a horse with no blind in, he's watching back at you all the time.
Oh.
That's what I use them for.
Oh.
That's something to keep him from looking back. You know, sometimes maybe you're not experienced that, but some of them I've seen them would watch back at you all the time, driving in the wagon or to the plow either one. Just time you go to raise the switch to hit him or the line to hit him, he'll dash off the end. And just time you take it down while he's watching, looking back, he'll just slow down again, you know. And use that blind right where he can't see all the time, and he always can't tell exactly what you're doing back there.
Got a little bit, man.
Yeah.
Surprise, boy.
You keep him wondering what you're going to do. And so he all the time looking out for something to happen back there, you know, and he's going on and try to do his way.
Your trace chains, that's all you use anymore, just chains, isn't it?
Chains.
Well, Coleman, the mule has to keep the line of the thing straight, in a straight line, and then you have to keep it even, the plow even. There's a lot to a mule having to know what to do.
You know, you can, just like if I was going to line off, lay off rows, what we call it, line off rows or flat end. You want them straight. Well, I take stake poles and set that. Now, you might not believe it. Just time that mule get where he see that pole, you go to it.
Oh.
Yes, and he put his bumper in his face right there. He stops that because you done that so many times with him. He knows exactly what to do.
Yeah.
He'll go
right to that stake. Just as soon as he can see it. And you go ahead and set it, and then he gets up. You might have to tell him gee or haw till he gets where you see him, and he gets there and you see the next one, he'll go down to you.
Now you see.
Well, after you get one row, do you still have to use a stake pole?
Yeah, keep it straight. For some people, I never keep mine straight if I didn't use it all the way across. You know, if I want it straight, because I can keep a pretty well the same distance, but I'll crook them, you know. If I wanted a straight row, I'd use it all the way across the field. If I were lay off a 10-acre block, I'd use a stake pole all the way across the field. If I want, you know, rows look pretty good. But I can put them across that with a plow, and it won't be enough difference in it plowing for it to bother you in making that crop. But there'll be some place it'd be crooked. So.
Yeah.
But I can lay them out. I had a brother who was next to me. He could go a whole field if he get his first row straight, just like he could do just like you could with that tractor. If he get his first row straight, he could lay off 10 acres and wouldn't have to use a stake pole. He could beat me. He wasn't a better plow hand than I was, but he could beat me that way. I couldn't do that. No, I'd make a crook, but I could take a stake pole and do it.
Yeah.
Measure it, you know, but I put the stake pole most at one end.
You mean it's a far end of a 10-acre field?
Yes, sir. Now, if I would set one ball right at the end and one further back up from here.
Oh.
And I'd start from that end. I'd get there and I'd line them poles up together. And I'd put them in a line and set my plow in a line with them poles and go to them.
And that mule would go right to his
just the time she gets where she can see him. Now, when I first started, she couldn't see him where I first started. But just the time she get close enough where she could see them poles, she'd go to them and stop. After you don't, you see you've been on there so much, she knows what you want to do, and she, you wouldn't have to tell her whoa.
Yeah.
Just go and bump them with the head. and you go and set it and tell her go on. She go on. This time she gets where she sees the next and do the next in the same way. You might have to tell Gene Hall before she gets ready to see that pool, you know.
Well, you can't use anything in the place of one of those ready-made store-bought
collars. People used to make shuck collars, but you know, all them people used to make them out of shuck, but all what used to know how to make them. I guess they're all done dead out. There ain't nobody around this country now be know how to make them. Make them out of shuck.
Yeah.
Oh, shuck off a corn.
Seemed like that'd scratch the mule if you did that.
What?
No,
it's all right. You wouldn't have to put no sweat pad under that. Of course, you ain't got to put no sweat pad on these other cars, mules, but we used to be using when you could get the kind you wanted. Try to keep them right now, but most he got there too small. I went and bought some for him, but you hardly get one large enough, you know, you want it to come down to the point of the shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah. You hardly get one large enough, and I just quit trying to get one from him. He got some there now, but the motors are too small, about a 16. She wants to pick about a 21, size 21 for her.
Well, she's pretty unusual, has a pretty unusually big head, doesn't she, Emma?
Yes, sir. She's about the largest. I believe about the largest, really the largest mule. She's fat. She's about the largest mule I ever had.
Yeah.
Others was size smaller than her. See, you don't need two large mules. I tell you, Fred Wood got a pretty nice little farm mule. He's a light horse. If he ain't got much hauling to do, now take a heavy mule. If you had to do lots of heavy hauling out of the field, you would want them kind, you know.
Yeah.
But just plowing. A little mule like he got it'd be all right.
Well, it's the same way about a tractor.
Yes, sir.
Most of the work you do with a tractor, you just want a little old light one.
That's right, sir. Yes, sir. That's right.
Kind of like, you remember them old little old tractors that come out, the engine set up there, it looked like a sewing machine.
That's right. Yes, I remember.
Well, they got enough power to do anything.
Yes, to do all the plows you want. Well, that's all you want. Something, you know, just to cultivate with. Now, when you get to that heavy weight, then you need one of them heavy ones then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like disking and heavy disking.
Yeah.
But just cultivating, just like you said, them little small ones would be all
yeah, and they wouldn't handle these old, big old rotary mowers. They're right powerful. They take right smartest
power to move
power
in,
for
them.
Yeah. Because you got to go fast.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
Or to get your speed up.
That's right.
And they're heavy.
Yes, sir. I guess so.
Yes, sir. Of course, you could take a little smaller strip.
Yes, sir.
Coleman, that, you know, I'll tell you, I didn't realize that I had never planted vines.
Peter vines?
Yes.
Yes.
And you see, all I ever done was get the slips.
Yes.
And we had a long, we used a tobacco stick.
Yes.
We'd sharpen the end of it and put
yes.
a little notch in it.
That's right.
And the ground was
good and
soft. It was soft already. And you just stick it down there and sort of pat it with your foot, as I remember. I'm not even sure of that.
Yes.
And just walk along.
Yes.
But now with these vines, it's a different operation.
Yes.
You make your hole first.
Yeah. Well, I do that. The reason I make the hole first, you just like you said, if the ground is say pulverized salt
yeah.
pretty good, you
yeah.
wouldn't have to do that.
Wouldn't have to do it.
But I make that hole first, keep from cutting that vine in two.
Yeah.
See, if I didn't make that hole first, I'd have to push on that vine so hard
yeah.
that stick would cut it in two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most of your vines would be so tender, you know.
Oh.
You'll cut in two and in short piece.
Yeah.
That's the reason I make that hole first.
Yeah.
Now I miss the planting, Coleman.
Yes.
How many joints in the ground?
Well, I tell you, the more joints you can get in the ground, is a better chance to make potatoes. Because
oh.
they make that every joint.
Oh.
There ought to be two joints in the ground, but if you don't, sometimes, a lot of them I set out, when I set, the vine be so tender, I can't get but one joint in the ground. Because the time you start to push it right in the ground, it cuts it into a break into, you know.
Yeah.
And they don't, but if you get two more joints to get in the ground, the more potatoes you'll make because that's where they make at them joints, where them leaves come out.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have any joints outside.
Yeah, up top of the ground.
Yeah.
Yes, you want to leave a top there. Yeah. Say, stand up, you know, it'd be better just leave if you didn't just stand like straight up like that, but sometimes it'd be. Longer, you know, sometimes you can't get them in the ground first, and it just had to be more out than that. But you want to leave some out, as much as two joints out anyway. That's what gets, because that's how you're going to start growing at them joints. And you need to put out new woods there.
The roots, the joints will make roots under the ground and leaves above the ground.
Yeah, so the leaves come out at the joint with them on top of the ground and roots joints under the ground, that's where they make the potato at, because that's going to put out roots for the potato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now you made your hole and then you pushed that down.
Yes.
That vine down.
Yeah.
And did you close up the hole?
Yeah, I knocked it dead in every state. Well, some people, you know, hey, we'll just water them. That water will close it up if you're going to water the potato.
Yeah.
But I just done that, you know, so if it didn't get back at water them with a good season in the ground, you can get them to live without water.
Yeah.
And that's where I close that hole up, just to keep the sun out of there. But if you're going to water them, see that water will stop that hole up.
So, yeah, and hold the water.
Yes. Yes, that hold the water, and the water will go all the way down on that potato vine. You know,
well, that's what Debbie was saying.
Yes.
Well, you did it, you could water them.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And then if you go along and stomp it or anything with your foot, that water won't go down.
No, sir. No, it'll pack it on top of the ground, but it won't go right down in there.
Now, what did you tell us about if the potatoes, a potato field got too much water, if water stood in it?
It'll rot. It'll be water soft. It won't be right exactly rotten until that length of time, but it'll be soft where you couldn't eat it.
In 24 hours, you said?
Yes, I've had them. You know, a rainy season, like these hurricanes come, that's
yeah.
what might happen. It come with lots of rain. I had it planted in wet land where the water couldn't run off it. And rain about, you know, when it has done about 2 days, sometimes it has 3 days of rain.
Yeah.
You know. And the end of that hurricane, the water rolls, the potato rolls would be full of water. And before I could get that water off them potatoes, it'd be ruined. Had to throw away. I had my whole potato crop, I had to throw it away.
Just because of the short time?
Yes, it'd be good water. So.
And then that's one reason why you want.
Yes,
it'll
help it, because if that would hold the water from one end to the other, the water couldn't run off it. Why, it wouldn't help it so much then, but if it didn't come too much water, well, it'd help it a whole lot. Anyway, see that rotator be up on that bed and that kind of protected like.
You know, I didn't see any of your horn. I think you got a. I never hoed down here. I grew up hoeing up the country. It was
yeah.
all different.
Yes, but I guess different climate works different. I guess.
Yeah, this old sandy
land.
land.
Yes.
So I don't know. Debbie said there's a great deal of difference in you hoeing and them hoeing.
Yeah. I didn't know.
I try too hard. That's what I do, Coleman. I get out there and I think I gotta dig a hole.
Yeah.
So you a lot easier.
Well, I guess one thing, you know, I'm more used to it, y'all, and it takes it a little bit different. Maybe y'all are trying to learn, and that's what makes, I guess, the thing feel
well.
A little different.
But you don't chop at it. You just...
Yeah, I do that, you know, horn up like, that's how I generally give mine my last horn, you know. Well, I'd bring that hole deep enough in the ground, any grass up there, I'd cut that grass up, it was coming up, but I'd wake it up to the potato.
Oh, you would?
Yes, wake it up. Oh, that's where I generally do mine.
Oh, you work from the other side? You work on the other side?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, we wake 1 mill at a time, we... Now, last week we worked 1 mill, and today we went in. We skipped in every other mill we worked last week.
Yeah.
Well, and today we got in that other mill where we didn't work last week. Yeah, that's where we worked.
You did that so you wouldn't disturb the plant. Just
well, you could have worked it both mills at the same time, and you wouldn't have hurt the plant. But I'd sort of do that, and maybe it helped keep the ground cleaner longer, you know. This last waking should last a little bit longer than last week. I don't know where it will now.
Yeah, just
kind
of spread it out. Like
yeah, make it different times.
Make it easier on us, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole lot easier to work out a middle like that than to try to do it both sides.
Yes, it is. Yes.
It's a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
And then you take the runners and pull them over.
Yes, some of them just leave them there.
Leave them there.
Yes.
Have you always done that?
Yes, ma'am.
That way?
Yes. See, they cover, when they cover the ground, you supposed to have it, everything where you can handle it then. If you can get the ground, them runners to cover the ground before the grass covers it.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the thing. We'll have to watch them and see how fast that crop of grass going to come. Sometimes the crop of grass, if the grass will grow real fast, you might have to do something else. Tell them I don't know, but you have to watch and see. And if the grass don't grow fast, you might could make that the last wagon, but you're not certain of that yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Coleman, those runners put down roots, but they don't. That doesn't make a potato.
Sometimes they make a potato in the middle, but that don't never amount so much. Sometimes it be big enough to eat, and sometimes it don't. But you don't never depend on that for to make the potato. That main part, what you depend on, is where you put that potato in the ground.
Oh.
But I've seen them make them in the middle of the road where them runners are. See, if you notice them runners, they put on roots
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen them make them potatoes there.
Mm.
But, you know, they don't be as large as the one where you put the potato in the ground.
And that's what I asked you this morning when I
yes.
pulled up one of those runners.
Yes, but, you know, I've seen people where the ground is rich. You know, people used to call it cow pen potato patch, you know, like you bunch of cows like you got. You pin them at night, you know, and make that ground rich with cows and put potatoes in there. Sometimes you can have it too rich. And I've seen people would have to go over that and tear them runners. Them potato vines, you know, would be that high in the middle of the road. Yeah, it'd be so rich. And that we would try to make potatoes and say the ground would be too rich for us. But you can make good potatoes with land fixed with cows, but you don't want to have it too rich.
Isn't that funny?
You,
I just now remember.
You ever see other plants behind
no.
cows?
I
but
remember
it's the best in the world to make it if you just don't have it too rich.
I remember potato plants in a cow pen.
Yes, well, it's a good place for
them. I never knew why.
Just like a bunch of cows you got, you could take them cows on, say, about a acre of land.
Yeah.
And
Keep them at night.
At night. Cut them out in daytime, pin them in there at night. And trod that land. When it gets too much litter over, if you want to, you can take your tractor, like you got a tractor to go there and just cut it up.
Yeah.
And maybe trot it on a little bit. But don't make it too rich. But you make it good way to be enough fertilizer that you don't have to put no fertilizer there, I'm saying. Or you don't need nothing. If you let them cows stay on that too long, it'd be so rich, you wouldn't make nothing vine because it'd be too rich.
Yeah.
But that's the best thing in the world to make potatoes. Now, if you make it too rich, I'll tell you what you'd have. Cracked open potatoes.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. You have those potatoes cracked open, they ain't fit to eat.
Just
bust them. Well, that's what you'd have lots of there.
Yeah.
But that's the best thing in the world to make potatoes with cows in there.
You
had to beat this board fertilizer all together.
Cow pen potatoes.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we got the cows.
You got the thing to make a potato pen. Yes, sir. And it wouldn't take long to do it. You just pinch it if you want an acre of potatoes.
Yeah.
Pinch in cut an acre off yourself and pin them cows on that acre at night.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do until you get much as you want. You can be the judge of that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you need to make them.
And potatoes like a little clay in their land?
They say, people say, well, I guess potatoes don't do well to extract a hard pan, like kind of like peanuts. Sound peanuts, you got to be on, it's got to be a land would be hard pan, they call it hard pan. It'd be hard, just nobody like clay. Now, where I live at, that if you stand a little while, by that deep in the ground, it'll get you just as hard as the way clay was.
Oh.
Yes, they call that hard pan. Well, it's good for potatoes and good for peanuts.
That's where you live.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
But it's no clay close to the top of the ground. No more down there one place, little old sink down there in the field, some clay close to the top. That's all the place I know. Well, I don't know how deep clay is the other place, but it's too deep for root or anything around. Now, you got clay on your land, pretty close to the top of the ground, but clay down yonder.
Yeah.
Right on that hill where that roughest place was, the clay is close to the top of the ground there, and that's where we got the best potato vine right now.
Is that right?
Where the roughest place in the field was, that's where the best potato vine.
That's right.
I don't know where the potato going to be that the best or not, but it's the best of vines there right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's
the roughest place was in the field.
But now your hard pan, you can cultivate it down 4, 5, or 6 inches.
Yes, sir.
And then
you strike that hard pan. Now, you can break that hard pan, but it's so dry time. Now, you take that land where I'm at now, in a dry time, if you go out there and turn it, you can't turn it. It'd be just about as bad as your land to turn, because you can hear that flower point on that ground, and it didn't want to turn, but already the time, people having the water land gets wet, why it turn good.
Yeah.
But the dry time, it won't turn good. You can't do nothing with it. Hard not turn it in the dry.
Well, you don't want to bother that hard pan.
No, sir, don't never go below that. See, when the roots strike that, peanuts, that's good peanut land where I live at. It'll make them, and what I mean by good, don't be faulty peanuts. You plant them right, they all be good and sound.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, if you ever noticed, I guess you have, sometimes you plant peanuts, they'd all be popped, all faulty peanuts, you know.
Yeah.
This sandy land, lots of it, bring them kind.
Well, or is that right?
Yeah. And they say, best is anyway, making potatoes make better when it's hard pan up. As I thought, your land should be good potato land because it's got clay close to the top of the ground.
Yeah.
And
oh.
I don't know, but it should be.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I'm going to watch that this time.
Because
my land ain't got no clay, but it's got a hard pan. But I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch the sandy end and I'm going to watch that. That rough place where the clay is so close to the top ground, which I know what's doing the best now, but I don't know what would be the best afterwards.
Yeah.
That rough place is doing the best now. It's growing the vine the best.
Well, you know, we picked up a few little nut rice pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what did you say you used to plant for hogs that had
chufa,
that nut?
Chufa. You know what
to say. Don't
oh, yeah.
It too much.
Yeah.
Yes, chufa.
Coleman, that little thing that holds that you put your trace chains on, that's a Hames?
Yes, sir. Hames.
That never wears out.
Yes, sir. Sometimes break them.
Oh, break them?
Yes. Break them.
You just keep your little piece of leather at a time with?
But bring them up, go buy a new pair. You know, sometimes if you break it up that way, you hook the chain at it, and you had to go get a new pair. I got lots of old ones around there now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you can't patch them because that's where all your...
Because you patch them with wire. You can patch them, you know, to make out for a while, but, you know, where you got to hook your trace, you say if you want to patch them, but just make out so you can get your pair, well, you can do that, you know, but just if you got to unhook that wire, untie that wire every time and get ready to do anything, well, it would be so worrisome. You'd rather go get a new pair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the key point about your... Plow harness is that collar and
yeah.
your
that's all of it. See, unless you can buy you know, everything got up high now. If you can buy them back bands that go across the back out of the stool, they cost you something now. I know because everything else, but there's no better than them sacks. The sacks just as good as them. Well, the sacks in a way suit some horses. Better than and them board ones do, because them board ones sometimes a river make a sore on a horseback, but them sacks won't do it.
Yeah.
Mm. His lot's cheaper working, farming, building a mule, because you don't have to go to a lot of expenses, you know, where you had to go with your tractor and buy all that costly stuff, you know.
What is that thing that goes over there back end?
Britain, they call them Britain's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you use that for?
Just for them to hold that wagon back off.
I see.
And of course, this will mule, lots of them horses don't care. He'd run up on the heels, they don't care. But some horses won't stand for that. I had one, wouldn't stand for that to run up on the heels. He'd run away if that would run up and bumble.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
But see, if you have that on, that strap so tight, that'll keep that wagon back off.
Yeah, that holds the tongue. That gets the tongue.
Yeah, well, yes, call that the wagon chair, like a one-horse wagon. That tongue be on a two-horse wagon.
Yeah.
Yes. But that chair, you just strap it on each side of that.
It'd be the same thing.
Yes, yeah, same thing. And she, going down a hill, she'll kind of set back on that. The other one, and that'll hold that wagon, keep them bumping.
Yeah.
It won't bump, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like it will, but it won't.
But
that's right. You have to have that or else it wouldn't stop, would it?
Yes. Yeah. Just like these heels, I see some horses, that old mule, she'd hold it back without that. It'd hit a bumper, but she wouldn't run away. And I've had them wouldn't run away, but I had some would run away. If that wagon run up on hit them, you know, they'd just keep it going.
Mm.
You could use a little handbrake.
I didn't have it on there. Nothing but that mule. Well, I've heard talk of people having a handbrake on the wagon. The way
yeah.
to put on brake,
yeah.
We knew he had nothing.
I never did either.
No, you know.
I've seen them on there.
Yeah, I have seen them too, but we knew he had nothing like that.
I think they put that on these heavy logging wagons and things like that.
Yes. But we never had nothing like that. Really. Just make the mule or horse hold the wagon back on.
Yeah.
But lots of these hills back over on this side, a lot of places around over here. Cause you all ain't got no bedroom next to y'all, but I've seen a lot of places back over there where the hills look kind of dangerous to go down on them, but the people back in them times would use the wagon and make the horse hold that wagon back over.
There's nothing that'll happen to the shaft of your wagon except
they get old and water and break sometimes to have a new pallet. Like it is now, you can't get no new ones. You used to be, you could buy an extra one. I doubt he's good. I'm his factor. I guess he got a new wagon. Cause when I bought that in '47, what I got, brand new.
Yeah.
And he had two that then. I imagine he got that other now, cause I don't think nobody else bought it. And I imagine he's got it back down the shelter now.
Colin, why would you want a spring wagon? If you're on pavement or something?
Yes, sir, I guess so.
If you're on dirt, you don't need it.
A spring wagon, but spring's on, you mean to say?
Yeah.
No, sir, you don't need it.
It rides a little easier, though.
Yeah. Well, lots of people used to have, not to say wagons, buggies, with rubber tires around, you know, with horses. I've seen lots of them had rubber tires on the buggy.
Yeah.
But they do, I don't imagine they ever had a tire. I guess that is just, I never did own one of them, but I guess it's just a solid piece of rubber. It wasn't nothing like a tire on an automobile, no where the tube blew out, but just a solid rubber they had around.
Solid piece of rubber.
Yes.
Well, that quieted down right smart.
Yeah.
On that,
it might have hoped some, but I guess I don't think it was too much. But I guess that's the best thing that people had going back in them days.
Well, the advantage in a buggy and a wagon, Coleman, you go along there at a pace where you can see how the field's growing.
Yes. It's light and get around in. Well, you take a buggy with iron tires or steel tires or whatever you call it, it's not so heavy for pull, and that's all kind of I ever had to. I never had one with the rubber one.
Oh, I see. Well, you can look over there in the fields, you're passing, you see when you're going by in a car, you go as fast as you can, you don't see them.
No, you don't see nothing.
And you can't speak to your friends.
That's the truth. Sometimes you don't have, if they happen, you don't have time to speak to your own friends. People love them, you know. You know, that's one thing. Now, I guess you witnessed this yourself. If you're using one of your horses to a buggy, and he have killed as many people, his automobile, you couldn't sell him, couldn't give him to anybody, could you?
No. Mm-mm.
But now, okay, all of you killed one a day, people go around by. As a man that makes him was a preacher, it butchered him up so bad, he laid up half a year. He's dead now. And just as soon as he got well enough in on board, he tore up his car then, had a wreck. Just as soon as he got well enough in on board another car.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if I'd been through something like that, I believe I'd have got out with the automobile.
Yeah.
But I ain't never had no wreck. All the wreck I've had was when I run into a stumble or something, though. When I used to drink a little whiskey, I got a good little bit too much of it and done my own self harm by running into a stump, maybe and blew out a tire or something like that. Done something like that. But for having a wreck on the highway, I ain't never had a wreck on
you
that.
Stayed off the highway.
No, so I drove the highway. Look, I felt like I could drive better than I could any other time. Yeah. Well, I felt then I could, and I didn't, I never had no wreck either. Yes, sir. I just felt like I could drive better then than I could any other time. Like,
well,
just the mind I had, I guess.
Maybe your neighbors all knew you, and they say, here comes Coleman, we better look out.
No, I had to move off of some of them. I'll tell you what happened to me one day. When I stayed back over yonder, and further back over here next to Rochelle, I used to go in, the games were on the Rochelle, what they call a Rochelle Hawthorne Road. And one day I was going into the Gainesville, and I got just about the corporation of the Gainesville, and police was at a drunk white man. I don't know who he was, but that man had the whole road. That's one time I got in the ditch, because I see him coming, you know, just like that. He's trying to keep out of the way of that policeman, and he did keep out of the way of him. The man followed him until he got to the line, and he stopped and looked at him. I think he's getting his numbers tagged in. I guess he got everybody over to come back again. But that man had the whole road. He was on this side sometime and on that side, just like that. And I see him, I drove down the ditch and waited till he passed, and he went on by. Yes, sir. But I never did have it. I've been held up one time, road man one time, and I believe that's right. Let me see, where I'm at now. I'm not home, okay? Right over here, just before we get. No. That is back up here next to where them gills live, please. I was driving too slow. I'll tell you what it was. I was looking over there to see that somebody had something over there. I was just looking at, you know, and I was driving too slow. I had the traffic roll up. Held that back behind me. And that's the only time I've ever been held up by a road man.
Oh, he told you to move on.
You just driving
he
too
told
slow.
Me to, he come down and told me to get on the side there. Got on the side and told me he gave me a ticket. But I didn't have to pay nothing. But he told me I had the traffic tail that I was going too slow. Well, see, I wasn't thinking about them people back there. I was just driving slow, looking over on the, and some of them people feel that something other I was looking at it, and that's what I was doing. That's the only time I ever had any trouble.
You don't even remember what you're looking at.
Not now, I don't. No, I couldn't tell now what I was looking at, but it's something that was on my attention, you know.
Coleman, on your wagon, you just got one sideboard. You don't need a double one or anything.
No, sir. But double sideboard.
Yeah.
No, sir. But I got double one on, and I tell you, I just put it when I had them other boards off, and where I had them at, there's like it is. It was rotten and getting dry rotten. I just put them on the wagon. I believe it'll last longer than it would where I had them hanging up in.
Oh, you got them on there now?
Yes, I got them on there now. But they're a little bit worse from getting in and out, you know, because I got to get over all of it now. But just once, let's have to go haul something like, I mean, I used to plant corn. See, I'd use that for to bring corn out of the field, you know, bring water. But I don't need it on there now.
Yeah. Well, this, you know, all you got to do is grease your axles.
That's right. They keep them running. You have to keep it greased, just like automobile, you know, it make it run easy, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have to do that.
Well, say about, I guess like, I don't know, if I use it every day, it ought to be used really about 2-3 times a month, you know. Like
oh, that much?
Yeah. Well, it will make it run easy, you know.
Sure.
Because when it burns it out, and it burn all that grease off the axle, it'll go to squeaking up there.
You can tell it.
Yes, we can tell it. And everybody else was around can tell it because it'd go to whistling, so everybody will know it.
Yeah. Now, what's that place underneath there where the tongue is?
Underneath? Well, you need to put some grease on that. You know, that'll have it twist from side to side, make it turn easy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good.
Put a
little grease on that.
What is it? I don't know what you'd call a thing. What do you call that underneath the front there where the...
That piece was set up on top of the wheel. We call it a bolster. I don't know what you would call it, but that's set up on top of that bar. Well, you see the wagon body sits right on there.
Yeah.
See, that's got a little stand on that bolster, what I call a bolster.
Yeah.
Little stand on each side to hold that wagon body.
Yeah.
Well, it twists just like that. Move the shaft round from side to side, that'd make that twist easy.
Yeah.
And you grease that'd make it work better. You could tell it yourself if you put grease on it. And put it on that wheel, and that wheel run dry, it'll go squeaking then. In other words, when it go dry just like an automobile, it'll cause it to wear out quicker if it didn't keep no grease on it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You'd know it, wouldn't you?
You sure would know it, yeah. Yes, sir.
That little one-horse wagon, one-mule wagon of yours, that's, what do they call a buckboard, Coleman? I've always heard that word, and I never knew what it was.
Yeah. Well, yeah, some kind of little old ladder wagon, it's a small wagon, it's between that size and a buggy, you know. Yes.
Yeah.
It has smaller wheels, small tires and everything. I guess that's what I used to hear him call around. I guess that's the same thing you'd be talking about. But it was a lot of, it wasn't as large a wagon as that. You see, that wagon got, my wagon got tires about like that. I think you'd call them a 2-inch tire, I guess. But that buckboard would have tires. Might be just a little size larger than a buggy, you know.
Yeah, and a little less body.
Yes, yes. It'd be some kind of light, you know, getting around.
Yeah. And it'll go along.
Yes, sir.
Coleman, what? I don't. You know, I've seen that. I've seen a wagon or a buggy set up, you see, in an old shed.
Yes.
And the weather never got into the shed. The chickens was in there, and it was just downright dusty.
Yes.
Dry.
Yeah. Well, they'll take dry rot. That's reason it just like I use a wagon of mine. It's good for me to use it a lot of time. Last time I used it. If it's going to rain, I wouldn't put it on this shed. I'd let it rain on it, you know.
Yeah.
The dry rot is just about as bad as rotting out there in the weather.
Yeah.
if you ever take that dry rot.
Yeah.
But use it just about like I use it, where I see that it keeps it from doing any of it. And I'm sure it leaks some where I got it on the knob.
Yes.
But I use it, and and the wheel, the body, what I call the body, the bed of the wagon, it's getting pretty frail, but the wheel's in good shape now.
Well, how you manage that? Like,
well, I'll tell you how I tore the body up. I done that myself. They give me they take out cross ties. That's when they used to take them out on the railroad and give them to you, know.
Yeah.
But now they don't do it. They'll cut them up. They don't like only intend for you to get no good of them. You use a fence post and wood and everything else. And they'd give me a whole lot of bunch of ties, but they tell me to move them. And sometimes I didn't want to take the bed of the body off the wagon by myself. I could take it off all right enough, but I just go ahead and haul them tires on that body, and that's where I tow it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I done that morning, sir.
Yeah.
But
it's just too light for that, right?
Yes, too light. If I had taken it off and just used the running gear, it wouldn't hurt. But that's what I done that morning, sir. I didn't want to go to trouble to take it off, and I just taking them out there and haul the tires. I had to get them out the way, you know. They tell me to get them out the way.
Yeah.
They give them to you, but they tell you to get them out the way.
Yeah.
And they want them out the way before the road. The head man come along, you know. And sometime I just had that evening to get them out, because they want them out by the next day. Lots of time.
Well, you've got to keep the tailgate in it and the front gate?
Yes, sir, front gate.
And keep that tightened up.
Yes, tighten up that iron rod. I got that in there, yes, sir. Now, but see, that's kept holding together.
That keeps
but,
it together.
Yes, but it's not so, well, body not so good, but I'm still using it, you know, but just the bed of the wagon, the running gear part, I thought, it's in good shape right now.
You never use a spring seat.
Yes, I got one.
I
just don't put it on, I just put a board on there, it's
just
me, you know.
Board,
yeah,
you know.
Right on that board.
Yeah.
But I got spring seats
there.
It's more easy, right?
You know what I was looking for was some place to put my feet.
Yes.
Down
well, I see, when you drove the mule, boy, I just let you take it just like I had it, but I kept my feet on the outside on that, you know, on the shaft on the single tree, you know, that's where I kept my, every time I come, you know, that's where I come, just right on the front of the wagon, you know, with that boat across there.
Yeah.
But you get inside, you know, put your feet in inside the body. I guess that's what I should have told you to do, put the board further back and put your feet on the inside of the body.
Well, that was all
yeah,
right. I didn't
yeah,
mind.
Yeah.
I just looked down there and all I saw was the single
yeah,
tree, and I didn't know where to put my feet.
That's the way I had been using it. I just get on that, just feet on the single tree, the mule pull it, and I just set on that front, that board on there. I got a spring seat, but I just don't go to trouble to put it on there, because I just ride on the board.
Coleman, I don't, you know, it's hard to believe. Now, up there where you live, how far are you from the hardtop?
Somewhere?
Are
hard
you,
road?
Uh-huh.
Half a mile.
Are you that far?
Yes. That's what it says. It says measured in a car that says a half a mile. Of course
is all that to railroad right away?
Yes. Go to Franklin's Fence. You know,
right to Franklin's Fence?
Yes. That's the Franklin fence, you know, right along where it's straight, you know, after you pass that bend, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Franklin fence is put on his line, the railroad line.
Well?
All that railroad right away. Clean. He got a big right away, just like.
The highway.
Yeah, and it don't do nothing, they just grow bushes.
Did they used to keep it down?
Yes, sir. When it wasn't paying but $1.50 a day, $1.60, they used to keep. Have a men to by this time of year it's August. That's the month they used to burn it. They done mow that track and burning the right of it. They used to keep it burning one side to the other, keep it clean. Just these late years, that thing grew up there like a swamp on that railroad. Now some places, automobile can from where I live at cross the road on the other side. You know they got a road on the other side that man had to go in to see, watermelon fact. And you can't see the top of an automobile over there right now.
Oh.
I'll be on one side of the house, and I can hear the car going on, and just had to look at one same place, I can look through there and see the top of it. Bushes is high in automobile.
What is those bushes mostly?
Just mostly any kind of like a gum bush, any kind of bush comes there.
Gum bush?
Yes.
Oak bush?
Yes, anything come up there. Now, in some places, last winter, they sent a man, I got to try to cut the weeds up there in front of them, upside my place there. Now, after I cut them last winter, they sent a man down there. They moved from that little crossing back there where I come out from the house, down just the other side there where they got a little phone box down there. They moved the side of the right of way on that side of that major road. That's for with one of these moves, like they got one of these moves hook on, like you got, you know, and some sort of that attractive move that. And that's all done. Now, on the other side, I don't think they moved anything. They had a, yeah. And the bushes got to be about tall, just about tall as your house, just about. Anyhow, as tall as that shed. They sent a man that just cut them down and let them fall, and that's all.
Come down with axe?
Yes, a bush hook and axe. Yes, but it didn't need the axe. Most of the time they use the axe because it's too big for anything else to cut but an axe.
Oh.
They were so large at one time, right there at the house, that was so large you couldn't see the hall at the top of the train. The old box cars go along there.
Mm-hmm.
The train
going
right there. In front of you?
Yes, sir. They ain't been that way this year yet, but it was that way before they cut them down a year ago. It was that way.
Have old bushes?
Yes, sir. Well, high in the box, yes. Some of the elder bushes and all kind of stuff there. Now, when they wasn't paying no money, it looked funny. They do that now. Now they're paying themselves about $15 or $20 a day, and they don't do as much. They don't do as much work as it's done when they're working them now for $1 or half a day, $1.60 and $1.75. They're doing more work then than they're doing now for all that money. Now, it don't look like a reasonable. You would work anybody that way, you know.
Yeah, and then they complain.
Yes. Yeah. That's what they done. Now, every year, way back years ago, when they're paying that little price, in August, they'd be done cut the weeds down. Now, this month, they'd be burning the right away, burning up.
Yeah.
And when they get through with it, they have it just a clean. Wouldn't be nothing on it. And it wasn't paying nothing for it. Now they're paying a whole lot of money, and they ain't doing nothing. It looks like everywhere is getting kind of like that. I don't know why it is, but it looks like it is. People work different on the farm now.
Yeah.
I take the woods people now, they tell me they're paying for hoeing, just like we're hoeing on it now, just now. Yeah, $1.75 an hour.
Yeah.
But you know, if you keep anybody...
They don't move that fast, then.
No.
The hoeing is hoeing.
No, take their own time.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't while to prop up on the hoeing rest.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing better than we did, because I don't think we done that out there. Just one of them little kids. We didn't rest. And... But you see that, you just stand and look at it. Now, you stand off and look at it. That's why they hold peace, and they got something to want to talk about. Fella, he tell a whole lot of different stories, something he done or something happened, you know. And they all got to stop and listen at that. And that's why they hit another few lakes and go on.
Yeah.
But they're paying $1.75. Oh, well, you know, you can't come out on the farm now at that, because you don't get enough of what you raise.
And there's several of them doing it.
I know it is. They ain't making much money on it. I can guarantee you that. Once in a way, they make enough money to give them, encourage them to go ahead. Sometimes they might hit a pretty good lick.
Yeah.
Enough to go ahead. Well, that'll give them a go ahead for about 4 or 5 years before they ever change their mind. And by the time they get ready to change their mind again, they make another good little lick, and that just keep it going like that. And when at the end, when they wind up, we're gonna have much more than it was when they started. That should be just the way it is.
Coleman, on your right away up there, the bushes bother you more than the weeds.
Yes, sir.
Because the weeds don't grow that high.
Oh, yeah. Look, they grow pretty good on them, Mr. Miles, out there. It grows about like as high as this table. It's common weeds and some higher.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it don't
it don't hide for automobile, you know. But it be pretty rough out there, and it be sick out there on it. There's lots of faces right out there. Run the house, cross rail from one side to the other. It'd be kind of dangerous to walk, but you just have to be just where you walk it.
Yeah.
So sick right now.
What's the main weeds are growing along there?
Well, It looks like there's some old kind out there. Just any kind of.
Yeah, and the coffee weeds.
Well, someplace I might find not too many of them out there on that road.
Coffee weeds just seem to grow in the pastures.
Yes. But especially in the field where you work at now, them coffee weeds. Because we out there try to cultivate around there. I can say store a crop of them coffee weeds, flying. I store a crop of them, and come a big rain.
And here comes another.
2 days' time, there's another crop right there. Then come out the ground. Just had a little short time, look like to me. 2 or 3 days after I didn't work on there.
But they don't bother you out where you ain't cultivating.
Some, not too bad. Like they don't come out the ground. Just try, if you till that ground, they'd come out there. I believe the seed is out there.
Yeah.
But by not cultivating that ground, I guess it causes it don't come out so good.
I found one way of holding them back.
How's that?
In the pasture is to fertilize the pasture, and you get a good cover of pasture.
And it kind of crowds them out.
It holds them a little bit, I know.
Maybe the kind of grass you got to probably do that. Pangola grass, it grows fast, you know. And I guess that's what does it. Well, I guess we better.
Yeah. But I tell you what, we have to do, Coleman. We have to come over there and practice plowing.
Yes, sir.
Hit him up and just. Plow a little
bit, yes, sir. But here, I believe, 11:30.
Yeah, some of these days.
I believe he'll learn. Look like to me, he don't mind learning. Look like to me, he got it in him to learn, but I don't know, he might change his mind after he finds a little wicked.
That's right. Hey, many times you got to go over the same piece of ground.
Yes, sir, that's right. He might change his mind. Decide not to learn. He won't be, might not be as anxious to learn. But he look like, now, he wants to learn.
Colin, what I started asking you a while ago, that junction thing there.
Yeah.
That junction's been gone a long time.
Yes, sir. It said, now, been done big times at a camp meeting. Well, you know, that's been way back years ago. That's when I was a boy.
Yeah.
You know, that was just it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going in my 84th birthday.
Well, that junction there, up to World War II?
Was that World War II? Is that way years before World War One? Way a long time before World War One.
I mean, was it there as late as...
Late as... Or, I mean, the station?
Uh-huh.
I believe... Yes, I'll tell you what they done with it. I think that run along by World War Two. Well, it was the first time. They moved... Well, see, they done just like done all the other little sheds on the road. They was getting ready to take them up then. They moved it from one place to another. And they let it stay there a while, and next time they load it, I don't know where they carry
it. It wasn't big?
Well, yes, it's pretty good. It's pretty good size. It is just about half as big as that depot down there is.
Oh?
Yeah.
Oh.
You remember they had a depot there?
Yeah, that's pretty good size.
Yeah. It wasn't half as big as the whole house. But
well, now, they didn't have it down there close to that paved road.
Just?
Uh-huh.
No, it's just up there by my house. Just the other side of the house.
Okay.
Right between the two tracks. Well, I'll tell you where it was.
Oh.
Now, you know where the road come out from making up, the branch road.
Oh,
railroad.
The old road went back that way.
Sir, yes, sir.
Oh, I see.
Yes, sir. Where the road come out from making up, it sets right just like this glass, yeah. Now, it sets right between them two roads right out right, just where they come together kind of close enough, where they could bring it out from making up on one train. You know, you used to run a little old train, come out from making up, just go out there and meet the passing train.
Yeah.
Where they could load stuff from that, just a little short, onto the station, and the... The main train on the main line could pick it up for that same little station. That's it. Both of them unload. One could unload his produce there, and the other one pick it up.
One on one side and the other on the other.
Yeah. One was going on to Jacksonville.
And it was on up towards your house.
Just the other side of the house. Just the other side of the house. Just about further other side of the house from here to that fence back there where we go into the field.
Well,
right
that old road's been closed a long time.
Yeah.
That old road.
Which road?
That old dirt road.
Which one you thought to go through the...
wasn't there a dirt road back there, or was it just a railroad?
To
Micanopy.
To Micanopy?
To the junction.
Here's a dirt road back there.
There was a dirt road.
Oh, yeah, it used to be the dirt road. All the way to Rochelle.
Yes.
From right on down from Rochelle, said Rochelle, from Old Keller right on down that river. But it's a place down there where they fish at. It holds water. And that used to be a place where back years ago, well, it wasn't no highway through over here then from making nobody go to Rochelle.
Yeah.
It's just a dirt road or through there. But it's a dirt road right down that railroad there.
people used to travel. That's why it worked right down the railroad. They did over this road over here.
Oh, yeah.
Tell to go to rain, and it would go to rain, and that place out there, the truck was very fishing. The water would take it, and people couldn't get across it. We have pulled a many one out there with a horse, a car get stuck in there, you know,
yeah.
Trying to cross it. People be on the way to O'Kella or somewhere else down there and get stuck there.
Well, the junction, I always thought the junction was pretty close to the end of that Road 6 road. But it was on up the railroad towards you, past you.
Just a little bit past me. It's about close to my house from here, that fence out there. Just
and it ain't been used since for long, yeah.
Oh, no, it's been long, yeah. I guess it's not.